Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Special Edition Football Garbage Time Podcast, NFL Wild Card Preview Edition. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of footballgarbagetime.com. And as usual, with me today is senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. Happy New Year, Ryan. Hope you enjoyed the holidays. Did you do anything fun over the holidays?
Yeah, I actually went up to, as a Boston Bruins fan, it was a little hard to be in enemy territory, but I went up to Montreal for a couple of days and stayed.
Fantastic.
I was right down on the old port. It was a gorgeous time, so. Good time.
Oh, terrific. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I have to say that it sounds like a lot more fun than I had because I had to stay, hang out with my family and my in-laws, so you know that is how that is. Good times.
I was with the girlfriend and her family, so I was right there with you.
Okay, all right. So we've all been through it, so that's good. An essential part of the holidays, spending time with family whether you want to or not. But another great part of the holidays is, of course, the all the football we had, not only the college football but the NFL. Now, before we get started, wanted to give a shout-out again to Wally and Ray of Urban Sports Scene and the DMV. They've been going head-to-head with us on NFL picks, and they beat us this week, tying it up at 2-2-1. We're going to continue going heads-up with them into the playoffs, so keep checking them out on podbean.com. They're terrific. They discuss a lot more than just NFL football, so give them a listen. Now on to our main topic of the day, and that is the NFL wild card playoff games. So let's take them in order in which they're going to be on TV. So on Saturday at 4:20 p.m., we're going to have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. So tell me, Ryan, what are your two keys of the game? And then after that, let's talk about your pick.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing is going to be seeing – for me, Kansas City, you know, it's not a game that's, you know, a team that's broadcasted a lot around here for me. It's there and there. I've been so busy with the holidays. I really haven't been able to sit down and watch Red Zone lately. So I haven't caught much.
Yeah, right.
Much of their run here. So it'll be interesting their defense if they're for real. It'll be interesting to see if Marcus Peters is for real. I think, you know, I don't really fully believe in either offense. So it's going to be – I think it's going to be a tight-scoring, low-scoring defensive game, and I think it's going to come down to which quarterback's making more mistakes. Alex Smith has been there before. He had a nice run. It was a really underrated run in 2011. I mean, he would have been in the Super Bowl had they not muffed that punt. So if I'm betting, I'm betting on Kansas City, but I think it's really going to come down to not who wins the game at quarterback, but which quarterback doesn't lose the game.
Right, and I agree with the fact that with the key for Kansas City, at least, is going to be Alex Smith. You know, quite frankly, he's actually been very surprising this year. He actually, I know people don't really recognize this, but he is a great running quarterback. He's had almost 500 rushing yards on 83 carries this year, which is actually the third most rushing yards among QBs in the NFL. Now, aside from that, I think the defense will be important. What's interesting is if you look at the Chiefs throughout the season so far, they've had the third least passing yards of any team in the NFL, so I don't expect them to change anything there. But they've had the sixth most rushing yards, so and I think that's in large part due to not only Charkandrick West and Spencer Ware, but also Alex Smith. Now, on the Houston side, I mean, I really think it just comes down to defense. If their defense with J.J. Watt and company can contain Smith and West and Ware, then they can really grind this out and take advantage of Alfred Blue to tote the rock and kill time, who's actually looked pretty electric. In the last week against the Jaguars, he had 102 yards and 21 carries. Looked pretty good, you know, looked like a solid NFL running back. And frankly, the Chiefs, one thing they don't do well is stop the run. They actually aren't as good at that as they are against passing, against stopping the pass. So, you know, maybe that'll be helpful for them. Maybe they can grind it out a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see how that all that shapes up. So your pick then for the game will be?
I'm going to take Kansas City in a low-scoring 21-13 game.
Okay. Now, just looking at one other metric, you know, Football Outsiders actually has what they call defense adjusted value over average, a DVOA, which actually breaks down every play and compares the team's performance to the league average in order to try to figure out the total team efficiency. Now, looking at Kansas City this year, they've just released their newest rankings, and Kansas City Chiefs are fifth, and Houston Texans are 18th, which, so just based on the statistic of team efficiency, one would expect the Kansas City Chiefs to win. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to say that the Houston Texans are actually going to be able to take this at home. I think it will be a low-scoring game, just like you say. I think it will be a very close game. I think it's going to come down to defense a lot, but I think the Texans can actually take this. You have any problems with me taking the Texans in this game?
No, I think either game is a toss-up, and I think in large part, as nice as Kansas City's run has been, I think both these teams are lambs waiting to be slaughtered in the division round. So either one could win this game. I think it's going to be tight, and again, it's going to come down to, I think turnovers are going to be huge in this game. Whoever makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win this one.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I think it's going to be a turnover. It's going to be one of those games that's going to rely on turnovers for sure, and we'll see how that turns out. But that'll be an interesting first matchup. I quite frankly did not expect anybody coming out of that AFC South to be challenging at all. I think the Texans have looked good recently, so they could pull it off. So let's move on to the next game of the day, and that's at 8:15 p.m. on Saturday. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would like to say getting lucky, but really the Jets shot themselves in the foot because they controlled their own destiny and looked like they didn't really want to make it to the playoffs as Ryan Fitzpatrick proceeded to throw three straight interceptions on three straight possessions in which they were only down by one score. But that aside, the Steelers did earn it. With D'Angelo Williams out. So tell me, what are your keys to the game for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, well, let me jump on your first point there. And since it's not really on our agenda today, I have to, you know me, I gotta take my shot here. You know, I've been waiting all year for it, and eventually Fitzpatrick on a Fitzpatrick. And, you know, he's driving down by 3 points, and in the most opportune time for him to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, he throws it right into a defender's hand. So, God, was that great to see.
Right.
And special shout-out to Darrell Revis. Hope you enjoy watching the postseason now that you're back in New York. Hope you'll enjoy watching that from your couch this year. Thanks for the ring. Thanks for leaving. I digress. I got Pittsburgh in this game. You know, I'm still – Pittsburgh's defense still just – I just don't think it's a playoff defense. I think the injuries now to D'Angelo Williams on top of Le'Veon Bell – really weakens a team that could have done some damage in the postseason. With that said, Marvin Lewis. So, you know, I don't know how anyone could pick Cincinnati. It's one of those show me things. Until you do win it, I get to say that you can't win it. And that's how it is for Cincinnati as far as I'm concerned. I think Cincinnati does have a good defense, but when you got three receivers of the caliber that they do, when you have a quarterback who is bigger in big games, you know, and Roethlisberger is not one of those. He's not an Eli Manning where he's, you know, downright bad in the regular season, but he does elevate even more in the postseason. So, I think they're going to go in there. And you know, Cincinnati, I give them a shot, but it's a low shot. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh in a pretty sizable, 24-14 type win.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to me to see what's going to happen here. You know, first of all, let me also say, Damian Woody actually came out and said that Darrell Revis should retire Revis Island, that he should not be using Revis Island anymore because he no longer is an island. I know you would probably jump on that one right away, but I agree. It's interesting. He got burnt pretty bad by Sammy Watkins. I mean, it was actually embarrassingly bad. Anyway, the point at hand, D'Angelo Williams, I think, is going to be a big deal here. I really think that's going to really impact the outcome here. He had what appeared to be an ankle injury this past weekend. He was taken off the field after the MRI on Monday, and there was no damage uncovered. But head coach Mike Tomlin has said that Williams is day-to-day with a foot injury, and the team is actually game planning as if Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Todman will be the lead backs. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette thinks that Williams has an quote, outside chance, albeit a small one, to play. I would suspect that D'Angelo Williams will try to give it a go. I don't think he's going to be that effective with an ankle injury or foot injury. So I think it's the key of the game is going to be Big Ben. Frankly, he can be good and bad. I mean, week 16, we saw him go 220 yards and two INTs against a terrible Baltimore defense. In week 17, he put up 349 yards and three touchdowns against Cleveland, as he should. Martavis Bryant will have to step up as well, and then Big Ben did call him out on radio this morning for not being tough enough. So maybe that'll get him fired up. I know he had a little bit of an illness last week, only caught one of three, was kind of a non-factor there. Frankly, when you look at the way this matches up, I think that Pittsburgh is just on fire when it comes to offense. They have the third most passing yards in the NFL. Cincinnati's defense actually allows the 13th most passing yards in the NFL. I think that's a bad combo. I have a feeling that Pittsburgh will be able to take advantage of that. Now, on the Cincinnati side, I really do think part of it is going to be Andy Dalton and whether he plays or not. Although he's had his cast removed today, that's Tuesday, but it's still very questionable. Head coach Marvin Lewis said that the Bengals are preparing this week for A.J. McCarron to start. He's a fine game manager. They're going to need more than that against the Steelers. It's going to come down to defense there on the Cincinnati side. If McCarron starts, I think that Pittsburgh will take this without any issue. If Dalton starts and is effective, I think it could be a little bit more competitive. DVOA under Football Outsiders has the Cincinnati Bengals at second and the Pittsburgh Steelers at seventh, so they would predict that the Bengals will win. I think it hinges on whether Dalton is healthy and can play or not. And ultimately, I think it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is there any other thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, in following up on the Dalton thing, you know, even if Andy Dalton does play, and those indexes are great, but, you know, it's one of the biggest arguments in sports. Does clutch and late exist? You know, are certain guys gamers? And growing up playing football, I had a coach who was like a second father to me that, you know, we brought home in the first state championship ever in Keene, New Hampshire. And, you know, he always said, because I was that type of player, he always said, you know, big-time players make big plays in big games. And Andy Dalton's a nice player, but, again, it's not – there's not a stat to it. There's not a side win-loss record. There's not a stat. There's nothing tangible other than until he shows me that he can do it in the postseason, until that team shows me they can do it in the postseason, I have zero faith in them. And so, you know, I think that they've been a better team all year. And I would have to say that it should be the favorites based on that and being home and all that. But, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a more explosive team, and they've got people that have, you know, at least done it before in Tomlin and Roethlisberger in a playoff run.
Yeah, I agree with that. And truly, Andy Dalton is the epitome of falling. I mean, aside from Tony Romo, he is the epitome of falling apart in the playoffs. I still remember back – there's also Peyton Manning. But you go back, though, I remember watching them play the Jets, approximately 4 years ago now, in the week 17, where if the Jets won, they would have gotten – they get into the playoffs. If the Jets lose, they don't. And Andy Dalton came out there and was terrible, and then they went to the playoffs, and they played again in the first round, and they got creamed. And I just got to think, wow, you know, I don't think he has that that want-to-win fire. And I think you're right. I think that will be a problem for him coming up this Saturday as well. So your pick, Pittsburgh Steelers. My pick right now, Pittsburgh Steelers, although I think that it's going to be a much more even game if Andy Dalton is healthy and can play. So let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks at the Minnesota Vikings playing at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Tell me, what are your keys to the game there?
Keys to the game will be that Minnesota defensive line and their ability to get to Russell Wilson. Now, on the surface, that doesn't really seem like it's mattered because Russell Wilson has been, you know, in the top five in sacks all season, if not leading. And he's continued to have an unbelievable and not talked about enough second half to his season. To the point that despite the fact that they went 15-1, I might strongly consider making Russell Wilson the MVP. since Jimmy Graham's gone down, the number, what him and Doug Baldwin have done has been insane. So, I mean, typically when you look at the Seattle Seahawks the last couple of years, you say, you know, it's going to be, especially when you're going up against a team with a good, strong defense like this, you would say, you know, it's going to be a defensive battle. But I think this game really comes down to whether or not the Vikings can slow down that offense or not. So if the Vikings come to play on defense, they might have a shot, but I get, you know, that's going to be the biggest, and they're going to have to get after Russell. They're going to have to get pressure on him, and they're going to have to spy him too, which is going to be the hard part, because they can't just come ears pinned back, bringing, you know, 5-6 man rushes, because even if they don't get anybody open, he's just going to tuck the ball and take off.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be a big part of this. The Vikings D has been kind of middling for the year, but actually has been better as of late. I think one of the big interesting points in this game, one of the keys here, will be Adrian Peterson. You know, he was sitting out practices on a weekly basis due to lingering ankle and shoulder injuries. In week 17, all Vikings fans at least had a big scare. Went to the locker room with a lower back injury. He did make it back in the fourth quarter, but he really didn't do much in that when he came back on the field. Now, he's still Adrian Peterson. He's still the running back with the most rushing yards of any running back this year with 1,485 yards. But he's likely to be less than 100% for this weekend's wild card matchup. So I think that really it's going to fall on Teddy Bridgewater a little bit. Now, he's only totaled 3,200 passing yards. He has a 14-9 TD to interception ratio this year. But four of those TDs are against my terrible Bears in week 15. He's also rushed for three TDs, but he also lost three fumbles. So essentially, he's 50-50 on TDs and turnovers this season. And in fact, he's had more interceptions than passing TDs in 7 of his 16 games. So I think a lot of this is going to be on his shoulders. If Adrian Peterson is not 100%, he's going to be a better game manager. He's got to take care of the ball. This is a very opportunistic defense on the Seattle side. The Legion of Boom is not what it used to be, but still very, very good. They allow the second least number of passing yards this year, and they've allowed the least amount of rushing yards this year. So they're still a very effective defense. I agree that Minnesota's defense is the only thing that can keep them in this game. Frankly, Russell Wilson has been lights out. And I think that Marshawn Lynch, actually, whether he comes back or not, will impact the game. You know, what do you think about Marshawn Lynch? You think he will impact the game if he comes back or if he stays out?
No. You know, and I love Marshawn. I've loved Marshawn since he was in Buffalo. But I think that they've proved they don't really need him. And, you know, I think we've done enough of these podcasts over this year that you've started to gather my theme on running backs, and I don't think that they're very important in the NFL. So would it be nice to have him? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to have a even more than a 5% outcome or, you know, importance on this game here.
Really? Okay, well, I kind of feel that having Marshawn on the field is going to be – it will be helpful. But I agree that I don't think it's going to be dispositive on the outcome. I mean, quite frankly, we heard – at least Pete Carroll has said that Lynch is – returned to team headquarters as of yesterday, that's Monday, and that he's, quote, ready to rock. I don't know what that means. He's not practicing. I don't know how many snaps he'll be able to handle. It's probably going to be Christine Michael and Bryce Brown handing the rock more. I kind of see the Vikings kind of stepping up, and they're at home. So I do like the Vikings' chances, but, you know, frankly, the Seahawks are just a better, well-rounded team, and Russell Wilson is just too hot right now. So what's your pick for this game?
The Seahawks are gonna slaughter the Minnesota Vikings. And my mom lives out in the Twin Cities. I go out there once a year. It's a great town. I love being in Minneapolis. This team, this is the one thing that the Minnesota Vikings fans wanna look for in this game and kind of hang their hat on here. If they have any chance, not in this game but in the future, it's for Teddy Bridgewater to show some signs that he can be like a Russell Wilson, and that means elevate. Because for the first couple of years, Russell Wilson more elevated in these games than was a consistent great quarterback in the league, and what he's done this year is a step up from that. So for the health and growth of the organization in the future, that's what they're looking for. On the field, they're looking at like a 34-17, maybe 13. They're not getting to 20 points. They're gonna get. They better keep the buses warm from the hotel on on Sunday morning. So.
Well, the Football Outsiders has the DVOA for the Minnesota Vikings at 11, and they have the DVOA for the Seattle Seahawks at number 1 overall. I'm unfortunately going to have to go with Seattle on this one as well, and I think we're all going to line up on this. Vikings have a chance at home. I just think it's a very small chance. Let's go on to the last game of the wild card weekend. That's Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins, the 4:40 p.m. Eastern time game. So tell me, what are your keys to this game, Ryan, and what do you think?
Mr. You Like That is going to be very important in this game. And then that defense in Washington, which has been sneakily pretty good this year, I think that as bad as the NFC East has been and how rough Washington started out, that there's not enough credit for they're actually a pretty solid club.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk Cousins, the knock on him has always been the turnovers. So if he can go out there and play, he doesn't need to play his best game, but if he goes out there and plays a good game, I think that's going to be a really big key here. On the other side, it'll be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers can really, I know that their running game hasn't been ideal this year. Losing Jordy before the season started was an enormous loss, and I think it's because you realize, sometimes you think that you have depth or you have such great players that it doesn't matter. And so you lose Jordy Nelson, and the whole rhetoric before the season started was, well, you still have Randall Cobb. Yeah, but Randall
mm-hmm.
Cobb's a great number two receiver. He's not a very good number one receiver. And,
right.
and, then, and now you
right.
bring back James Jones, and there was that spark at the beginning. And so I wouldn't blame Aaron Rodgers if they lose this game. But I think that if they win, he has to put the team on his back. And I don't know if maybe this is some Patriot bias because of the comparisons about who's the better quarterback right now, him and Brady. But at some point, every great quarterback at some point has to put a team on his back that isn't that good. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Manning had to do it in the Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley years before Pierre Garçon
mm-hmm.
was any good. Brady had to do it in 06, if you remember that team,
mm-hmm.
that lost in the Colts or lost against the Colts that, in that massive comeback that should have gone to the Super Bowl, Brady was throwing to Doug Gabriel and Rasheed Caldwell. So, if
mm-hmm.
any of you remember them playing outside of New England, I'd call you a liar. And they had, Ben Watson at tight end who wasn't even as good as Ben Watson was this year. So, at some point,
right.
every great quarterback has to do it. So those are really the keys in the storylines that I'm gonna be looking for in that game.
Yeah, I have to tell you this. I am a big Kirk Cousins fan right now. I mean he is. The Redskins are coming in with serious momentum, 4-game win streak. Kirk Cousins, arguably the hottest quarterback entering the postseason right now. He went from RG3's backup to being the franchise quarterback in the space of essentially half a season. Who would have guessed that Kirk Cousins would be in a situation where he would be rested for the playoffs after throwing 3 touchdowns in less than half a game in week 17? That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. And a lot of this, as you say, rides on whether he can keep this up, whether Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson can keep up their game, and whether the ground game with Alfred Morris and maybe Matt Jones, if he comes back from the hip injury, and honestly, Pierre Thomas, who actually looked pretty good back there, can keep pressure off of Cousins or not. I think that's going to be a really important thing. Green Bay does allow the 12th most rushing yards in the NFL, so if they can get that going a little bit, they'll take some of the pressure off of Kirk Cousins. On the other side, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he does not look like Aaron Rodgers this year, and I think what has happened with Jordy Nelson going out is that it's exposed the fact that Randall Cobb was not as good as everyone thought he was going to be, and it's a problem. I mean, it's a real problem for them. They are just not a high-octane offense anymore, and Eddie Lacy has not been solid. He's been okay as of late, but he was terrible in the first half of the season, and James Stark is a much better, more dynamic running back, but he has serious ball security issues. He's had 3 fumbles on limited snaps, and he lost another one last week. They just can't do that. If they want to win, they can't do that. I think that's going to be a problem for them. I think that's going to be a major problem for the Packers. So what's your pick for this game, Ryan?
I'm going Washington, which
yeah.
I mean, it just gets a bad taste on the tongue saying it, but I think they pulled this out. And again, for all the stuff I just said about all the circumstances around it, at some point we have to start the conversation. And I do like Aaron Rodgers, so it's not just Brady's better like it was with Manning all those years. But I do like Aaron Rodgers, but at some point, the man's been to one Super Bowl in all these years with all these teams, and you know he gets asked to do a little bit more this year, and he hasn't elevated enough, and hasn't elevated the guys around him enough. So I think that team's kind of a mess right now. I don't think Mike McCarthy's a good enough coach to overcome it. I think they actually win in spite of him a lot. So I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think it'll probably be a 24-17, 27-24 type game that the Redskins will win this one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game to watch. Football Outsiders has DVOA for the Packers at 10, the Redskins at 15. Actually, pretty close. I would go with the Redskins as well. I think they just have so much momentum, and Green Bay's on a slide, losing two coming into the playoffs. So I agree with you. I think that the Redskins will win a close one. So that wraps up our wild card game. So one last topic. Black Monday has passed. Lots of coaching changes and non-changes. What's the most interesting one to you, Ryan?
The most interesting thing from yesterday is I would like to have a drug test administered to Mr. Pillhead himself, Jim Irsay, because what the hell is that? I can't even fathom this. Chuck Pagano is a blubbering fool who still believes he has to establish the run and to the point that he takes away from having the next future quarterback there. Ryan Grigson is the biggest boob in the NFL. This man gets bounced in the playoffs in back-to-back years by the Patriots in games where the Patriots had 6 rushing touchdowns combined and about 500 rushing yards. And what does he do in the first round this year? Drafts a receiver. He's got T.Y. Hilton. Right. He goes against Andre Johnson. He gets all these old guys. He gets Trent Cole, a pass rusher. Still nobody who can stop the run. And, again, as you know, I don't even believe in the run that much. But when you can't stop it, when you might as well not even march out on the field, and then not even to mention the fact that Grigson and Pagano can't even talk to each other. There's reports in Indianapolis that they actually have people that they communicate to that communicate with each other and then get back to them because they won't even speak to each other. And you extend both of them. In a year
where
you
they had
won
the most awkward
games?
Picture of the three of them today. It was the most awkward picture after the press conference I've ever seen. They had to hug each other. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think they're going to explode when they touch each other.
Because they're so afraid of not being employed that they both took their contract extensions. So now they're all pretending that's one big happy family. And it's such an abusive system. It's like the alcoholic father with the two stepkids who don't get along, and they're smiling at Christmas time at a photo. And it's just – that is a mess. And you know what? Couldn't happen to a better organization as far as I'm concerned. Suck it, Indy. You enjoy that for the next the next 5 years because you're wasting Andrew Luck in his prime as far as I'm concerned having those two there. They let the good guy go a couple years ago at Bruce Arians.
I agree with that. And that was very surprising to me, very, very surprising to me. I can tell you the most interesting management change to me actually was the Cleveland Browns naming Paul DePodesta, the former New York Mets VP of player development and scouting, it's a new chief strategy officer for the Browns. I mean, I love Paul DePodesta, and everyone might know him from the Michael Lewis book Moneyball. He was also played by Jonah Hill in the movie, although they renamed him Peter Brand because he was uncomfortable with someone portraying him in the movie. But, you know, what? I mean, baseball guy? they're getting pretty desperate there in Cleveland. I thought that was pretty interesting. So we have actually come down
to
the
Chicago,
end.
Not Cleveland.
I'm sorry?
I said it makes even you happy to be a Chicago Bear fan and not a Cleveland fan.
I love it. I love it. I'm gonna keep an eye on those guys. I love the Browns because they're just a funny, funny organization. So we gotta wrap up because we're at the end of our podcast. Ryan, tell us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Yes, at Ryan Whitfield NE.
All right, and you can follow us at FB Garbage Time. And that wraps up another episode of the Football Garbage Time podcast. We'll see you back again next week where we preview the next round of the NFL playoffs. And until then, enjoy the wild card.